you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. And I want to read from Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. And we're not going to read the entire chapter. I'm going to read a few verses in the chapter and kind of skip through, and then I'll mention some other verses as we go. Verse 1, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them, and I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sidon. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth unto singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion saith, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. What a cry. What a cry of desperation. What a cry of desperation to be forsaken, to be forgotten. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she shall not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Heavenly Oh, we are thankful when we contemplate and when we think about the love that Jesus Christ, our Lord, had for each and every one of us, wicked sinners that we were. Oh God, when you stepped out in mercy and grace and poured your grace upon us, what a blessing it was. What a blessing of salvation, what a blessing of deliverance. And Father, we can't say enough and we can't thank you enough for what you've done. Father, as we think about what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary and in representing us and bearing our sin and paying for every sin that we have committed so that we might share in his righteousness. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. As we look at this passage this evening, Father, I pray that you do what I cannot do this evening, that you take this and that you empower me through your Holy Spirit just to present the love, the compassion, and the mercy of our Lord and Savior this evening, that he might receive honor and glory. For I pray it in his precious name. In this passage, Jesus Christ is speaking. He is speaking, of course, through the prophet Isaiah. But notice with me who it is and who indeed is uttering these words. In verse 1, the speaker says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name." Down in verse 5, he says, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." And then look at verse 6 again, and he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth." This passage is quoted in Luke chapter 2. It's quoted by Simeon as he takes Jesus in his hands there in the temple and lifts him up and says, "Now mine eyes have seen the light to the Gentiles and the salvation of the ends of the earth." That old saint of God took this passage and realized that the Messiah had come and that he was in the presence of the Lord of glory and had the privilege of holding him in his hand. Jesus is speaking to Israel at a time of great trouble. This section of Isaiah deals with the Babylonian captivity that is coming. And we don't have time to spend a lot of time there, but in verse 39, or chapter 39, verse 36, it says, "Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord." So Israel is about to have the judgment of God fall upon them. In Isaiah chapter 48, God details the reason for all the trouble coming to the people. And folks, it's no different today. In chapter 48, verse 4, he says, "Because I knew that thou art an obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass." Are you ever hard-headed? That's exactly what God was saying of his people. Isaiah 48, verse 22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." Do we live in a day like that? Do we live in a world like that? Folks, it's getting worse all the time. You and I don't have to look far. People, God is holy, and sin will be punished. in the 47 years that I've been in the ministry, I may not have learned very much, but I've learned a few things. One thing is that Isaiah 48:22 is true. It's so very true. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. I've talked to people where there was abuse of drugs or alcohol, and a family is going through the pain and the emotion of that. I'll tell you what, there's no peace. Things are in an uproar in that kind of a situation. I've talked to people where there's abuse going on in a home, and the home is being torn apart. There's emotional stress and heartaches and stress that you can cut with a knife. There is no peace where there is sin. I've talked to people where that were involved in sexual sins, and the same thing happens in those situations. Now, I'm not saying that sin doesn't promise pleasure, and it provides a moment of pleasure. But when that moment of pleasure is over, there's nothing left but turmoil and sin. There is no peace, the Lord said, unto the wicked. And Israel's sin was going to bring great trouble. God's judgment was about to fall, and He was going to punish them. It was going to begin at God's house. That's where God's judgment always begins. It begins at God's house. Our nation is going to be judged. There's no doubt about that. But Peter says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Judgment is coming. And whenever judgment falls, it always will be as God was prophesying in this section of Isaiah that it would be. There will be a natural response from God's people. Judgment falls, God's people say. Isaiah 49. Verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. This is the way we feel sometimes in our lives, in our walks. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like God has forsaken you? Sometimes that can happen. Jesus is assuring His people here of His memory for them in this passage. Though sometimes we feel like that. Did Job not feel like that? When he was going through, and Job's trouble, Job's trial, Job's problems were not because of sin. They were just trials of life. And Job fell. Job cried out and he said, where are you, God? Where are you, God? I don't know. I know you're working here, but I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand. That's the way it is sometimes. But here in this passage, notice what it said in verse 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child? Yeah. It's not natural, is it? But it does happen in this world. That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb, that's not natural, but it does happen. They may forget, yet will I not forget thee. There's what Jesus is saying. The text here gives us the reason. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, thy walls are continually before me. And I want you to look at that verse with me for a little while here this evening. I want you to notice, first of all, several words with me in this text. The Hebrew word here, behold. This word in Hebrew is an interjection. It is used 1,275 times in the Hebrew and then also used in the Greek, the Greek form of this same word, to call special attention to something. And so he says here, behold, verse 16. It is used to call attention to the wonderful manner of God's love here in this particular verse. Oh, the love of God. Folks, it is so rich and so deep, and we don't have even a little bit of an understanding of God's eternal love for us, His people. In John chapter 10, First John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. What manner of love? Brother Tom, if I ask you tonight to die for me, would you do it? Boy, you talk about putting him on the spot. But that's what Jesus did for us. And Brother Tom and I are friends. But Jesus died for His enemies. What manner of love Jesus bestowed when He came? Not that He died for His friends, but that He died for His enemies, and in His death made those enemies His friends. But He died for His enemies. It is used by Christ. This word, behold, is used by Christ to call attention to the fact that He lived and died and is alive evermore. Revelation chapter 1, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. It was used, this word behold, was used by Enoch to call attention to the glorious return of Christ to the earth. Jude, verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. It is used by John to call attention to His return. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. In our text, Christ is speaking, and He uses behold to draw attention, the attention of His people who feel forsaken, to Himself and to the marvelous fact that He can never forget us. Never forget us. The words being uttered are not from some politician who will forget his supporters as soon as the election and all the promises that He made. Behold, I. Notice that? I have graven Thee upon the palms of My hands. Many, many years ago, in the western states of the United States, there was a notorious bank robber. I don't know if you know anything about Western history, but his name was Pepe Rodriguez. He was Mexican. And he would rob a bank in South Texas or Arizona or one of those border states, and then he would cross the border into Mexico and turn around and laugh at the authorities because he was now in Mexico. After a robbery in Texas, he fled across the border, and the Texas Rangers trailed him and followed him and followed him to one of his hideout towns and cornered him in a saloon that was, this is a true story, by the way, cornered him in a saloon that was run by his friend. The bartender, the owner of the saloon there was his friend. Pepe didn't speak a word of English. And so when he was surrounded there by the Texas Rangers, the Rangers pulled their revolvers, their six shooters, and cocked them, and they came in ready to have guns firing and surrounded him there in the saloon. And the Rangers said, "Tell Pepe, if he doesn't give us the stolen money, we're going to gun him down right here and now on the spot." The bartender turned and in Spanish told him what had just been said. And once Pepe had heard the ultimatum translated into English and saw the Texas Rangers there, saw the looks on their face and the guns ready, he said to his bartender friend, again in Spanish, "The money is in the town well. It is 7 stones down, 7 blocks down, hid in the wall in a bag." The bartender turned to the Rangers and said, in English, "Pepe is a very brave man. He said you are a bunch of stinking pigs and he is not afraid to die." You can't trust the word of man. There's always a motive. There's always an agenda. There's always a program. You can't trust the word of man, but you can trust the word of the Lord. You never need to doubt anything that God says. When God says, "Behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands, I won't forget you because everywhere I go, you're with me." You can trust that. You can believe that. You can base your salvation on that. And you can have security and hope that you have not been forgotten of God. There is no reason for a child of God not to trust God. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." The words are the very words of Almighty God. It is the all-wise and the all-knowing and the all-sovereign God who says, "Behold, I have graven thee." And I want you to notice that word "have" for just a moment. "Behold, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hand." I want you to notice that word "have." It is a finished transaction. The one who saw us in eternity and chose us in eternity. And he didn't look down and see that you would do any good. He looked down and in his sovereign love, he chose you. And he chose me. And folks, I don't understand that in the least as to why. But I am so thankful that he chose me. That's the one who is speaking here. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now that was spoken to Jeremiah, but it's true of us as well. We may not be prophets and ordained to be prophets, but before he formed us in the belly, he knew us. And that word "knew" doesn't mean he knew what we would look like, though he knew that, and doesn't mean he knew what we would do, though he knew that. That word know means he set his affection on us. He loved us beforehand. He knew us with an intimate love, like a man knows his wife in a special and intimate way. God knew us before the foundation of the world. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verses 2 and 3. Thus saith the Lord, the people which are left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel. Even I went to cause him to rest. The Lord that appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's who's speaking. The one who loved us with an everlasting love. Behold, I have. Folks, it's a finished transaction. I'm not glorified yet, aren't you glad? Neither are you. This isn't the best that it's going to be, folks. It's going to be better someday. I'm not glorified yet, but I'm just as good as glorified. Because for those he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those he predestinated, them he called. Them he called, he justified. And them he justified, he glorified. And that hasn't happened yet. But it's going to, it's certain, because it's based on the work of God. Behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. This word is important, for the passage does not say written on the palms of his hands, but graven on the palms of his hands. Now, it's true, our names are written in heaven. The Scripture says that. Notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven, Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. But the word in our text is more forceful than merely writing. As I was studying this message and preparing this message, as I worked on it, I typed it first and then I wrote some things as I thought about other things on it. I wrote them on. But this Hebrew word literally means to plow a furrow in something. And you know what that means. You've seen a farmer plow. Perhaps some of you have done that as well. It was used when God engraved the Ten Commandments on the tables of stone in Exodus chapter 32, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. In other words, not just written on there, but, you know, cut in, chiseled in, graven in. It is used to show how deeply ingrained and infected with sin Judah's heart was in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 1, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron with the point of a diamond graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of the altar. In other words, it's permanent. It's not written in pencil. It's not even written in permanent ink. It's engraved in the palms of his hands. Remember who's speaking here. God, yes, but specifically the Son, the Savior, the one who personally went to the cross for us. The image is incredibly striking. Jesus was nailed through his palms to the cross. Jesus, who approached doubting Thomas and to thrust his hands forward, saying, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. That's That's the one who's speaking here. Christ, who ever lives to make intercession for us, that is the work of the high priest. That's the one. That's the picture here. The Old Testament high priest went into the Holy of Holies with stones on his breastplate that had graven on them, engraved on them, the names of the tribes of Israel. What a precious picture that is. But Jesus has us on the palms of His hands. What a glorious picture. What a picture. They're not engraved in the sand of the seashore where the waves can wash it away. They're not engraved on Mount Rushmore where someday they may wither away, but on His hands where He is ever reminded of His work for us. I can't forget you. I can never forget you. Can a woman forget her suckling child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of thy walls are continually before me. There was a man who walked into a doctor's office, very, very sick, Brother Paul. You've had people walk in, perhaps, like this man. After examining him thoroughly, the doctor called to the waiting room called for his wife to come into the office and consult with her. He wanted to consult with her privately. Said, your husband is a very, very sick man. It's very important that you do everything you can to remove all of the stress from his life. You need to take care of all the finances so he doesn't have to worry about the bills or worry about the finances. And be sure not to spend any money foolishly and that might upset him. And be sure when he comes home at night that you have a warm meal ready and meet him at the door with a smile and a kiss. And if anything has gone wrong during the day, don't bother him with it. Take care of it yourself. Whatever you do, don't fight with him. That's a tough job, huh? When they got in the car on the way home, the man's curiosity took over and he asked her, what did the doctor say? She looked at him and said, you're going to die. She wasn't willing. Jesus didn't say, you're going to die. Jesus died in. And besides dying in our place, He has us engraved on His palms, on His hands. And folks, He's ever before us. He's not ever before us. We're ever before Him. And He's ever working for us as our high priest. He ever lives to make intercession for us. When the trials become hard, when the waters get deep, when the money gets scarce, when the bills pile up high, when the troubles seem to overwhelm us, and when we feel like God has forgotten us. Let me just say, if you haven't ever felt that way, it's coming. Somewhere along the way, it's coming. I don't mean to be negative, but we live in a negative world, and And the world doesn't like us at all. It didn't like him and it doesn't like us. And very often, the world is going to overwhelm us. And when we feel like that and when we feel like we've been forsaken, remember what it said here. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. And break forth unto singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. But Zion saith, the Lord hath forsaken me and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Think about that. You talk about rejoicing. That ought to make us rejoice. We are ever with our Lord. We're not presently with him, but we're ever on his mind.